Cubs fans, it's Pat Hughes.
And Ron Coomer here. And right now, you're listening to the Spiegel and Holmes Show.
We're a very important radio show.
Very good, Matt. Thank you.
That should be a tagline for this show.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Lawrence Holmes.
Yeah. Lawrence, don't call me Larry.
Spiegel guy.
What's his first name?
Going great, Max. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Matt. Always a pleasure. Speak to you soon.
And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Adam Amin.
This show is a party today. My goodness.
I like this kind of party.
I was wondering what that cloud was after Hudler walked out of the room.
Dude.
Man, anytime you guys want me, I'll come in the studio. We'll have some fun.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
It is all like rain on Trump.
That's the one, Lawrence.
Yeah.
That's why we're a team, baby.
I like our team.
You guys are great.
You're right.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, Weasel.
We'll send him the book.
From Emerson College, the good vibes provider, 5'10", Matt Spiegel.
Hey, where is Spiegel?
From DePaul University at 5'10", Lawrence Hall.
Thank you.
5'10".
Lawrence has done it all. Earned his master's from the University of Alabama.
High time!
Lawrence Holmes, congratulations to you. You are appreciated by many, many people.
Matt Spiegel is one of the great baseball people, and not only in this town, but across the country.
Chris is talented. Chris has got it. Chris is the best part of this show.
Ron wants Coon to get their wish.
First of all, thanks for having me. I always enjoy being on with you, Lawrence. King of Evergreen Park.
You guys are the not messing around crew. I like it.
You guys are friends of the program, man. I can never turn y'all down.
Everything everyone said about the score and you being a tyrant is totally wrong. Wait, is that what you wanted to say?
Write
it down again.
If they mention the score, we'll go hug it out.
Gonna hug it out with Jeremy Piven.
Matt was talking about the dishwasher. That's my kind of sports radio right there.
This is where we have a big open and then it's like, music!
Chicago! Let's go!
Good afternoon, Chicago. Good afternoon, Cubs fans and Bears fans and all Chicago sports fans. What a special day it is in town today. It is indeed the Spiegel and Holmes Show today. It is Spieg solo here with you for 30 minutes on Spiegel and Holmes. And then we hand it over to Hit and Run, which will be hosted by, let me check my notes, me, Matt Spiegel, up until 7 o'clock. So really what this means, as I say hello to you in the Twitch mob, you Spiegel and Holmes people, you on the text lines, you faithful score brethren, you, and you in your cars on the way home from Wrigley Field, just listen to Cubs post game. This is Cubs post right now until 7 o'clock after the first Cubs home playoff game with a crowd since 2018. 2020, there were home playoff games, but there was nobody in the stands. So those barely count, because today, if you were there, or if you felt it on the radio or felt it on the television, man, was that special. Let's discuss, shall we? Yes, we shall. It's Spiegs here with you. Alex Coon is with me. And the NL Wildcard Series continues tomorrow as the Cubs look to close out the San Diego Padres at Wrigley Field. Mully and all will broadcast live from the radio booth tomorrow morning at Wrigley Field from 5:30 to 10, followed by Raheemy Harrison Grody in Gallagher Way from 10 a.m. to 1:30, all previewing Game 2 of the playoff series that will take place tomorrow. Man, you know how to get to the show. You dial the number at 312-644-6767. You can call in and we will take your calls over the next 90 minutes. You can text the show and I will see your texts and read some of them and interact with some of them as well. Your phone calls and texts, not merely welcome, but elemental to the very completion of the broadcast. Man, that was just crazy, crazy special. It really was. The atmosphere was epic. I got there this morning and I had to find the auxiliary press box, or excuse me, the auxiliary interview room, which they put way down the right field line on the concourse to deal with the national media and all the Padres media in attendance. The playoffs are just a very different animal. In the ballpark, surrounding the ballpark, how you get tickets is different. How the media accesses things is different. How you have access to the players or not is different. The clubhouse was not open before the game today, but certain players made themselves available in that interview room, Craig Counsell in that interview room. And then you got a lot of the media just kind of hanging around on the field, watching the players take BP and do some fielding practice. Some of them come over and talk to you. Some of them do not. It's just an entirely different atmosphere, and it was electric. Everybody you saw at the ballpark, and I should say everybody I saw at the ballpark, just so excited. Some of the stadium workers, some of the ushers, you know, the vendors, everybody who you may have had a chance to see all year long is just excited, as was the owner. Tom Ricketts, saw him on the field before the game. And Crane Kenny, Craig Counsell came over and said hello. Friend of the radio show, Nico Horner, comes over and says hello. And we're just talking about the atmosphere and the vibes there. And on a beautiful July day here in late September, it didn't feel like playoff baseball. It felt like one of those perfect midsummer 120 games at Wrigley Field. It felt very familiar in that way, but very charged in another way. And then I go out to Gallagher Way to see Rahimi and Grody and Harris doing their thing. David Haw, a guest out there, Score Brethren in all directions, and just many, many happy listeners. I got to say thank you to Dave Wanstead, who has really provided a catchphrase that I hope follows me around for the rest of my Score career. Where's Spakes? I'm just standing there minding my own business next to the broadcast site, and I hear, where's Spakes? And it was just a listener doing the Wani catchphrase to the midday show, and I happen to hear it, so I turn around, I'm like, I'm right over here. And the person goes, there's Spakes! And I go over, we take a picture, we say hello. It was hilarious.
Hey,
and,
where is Spakes?
That's what I'm saying. Alex, it's now a catchphrase, man. And what an unbelievable gift from Dave Wanstead for
Spakes. I will hear it in my own personal life, and I've only been the producer of the show for like 3 months now, and I hear it.
Wani has created a thing. So, I mean, that was just hilarious. But just an incredible, incredible atmosphere, and then the game lived up to it. It was nerve-wracking for a while. And we've got news, by the way. There is news about tomorrow's starter that we have to get to, and we will in a moment. But can we just bask in the atmosphere and the vibes and the win before we dissect the manager and immediately start to freak out about the decisions? Can we do that just for like a minute or two? Alex, when is our first break? 5:40, right?
Yeah, you got about 6 minutes. And by the way, the atmosphere was incredible.
It was incredible. You were there. Alex was there. We were hanging out on the field for a little while together. It's the return of playoff baseball. I want to rejoice in that and feel that with you and share it, appreciate it, and transmit it from me and from Alex to you. Before we break down the fact that the manager is going with an opener tomorrow, you know, I mean, before we even do that, we can talk about the game. The manager crushed it today. He crushed it today. Maybe you were nervous when Matthew Boyd is being taken out in the fifth. When we saw that Daniel Palencia was warming up in the Cubs half of the fourth, I was like, boy, that's aggressive. The playoffs are a time for aggression, folks. They are a time for aggression. Everything is high leverage. Inning number one is high leverage. Your even or ahead guys, as Joe Maddon used to call them, they are in play from out number one to out number 27. And all of a sudden, the stuff that Craig Counsell has spouted since he's been here, you get a chance to see it and feel it in crunch time in September. It's supposed to be Craig Timber. And now here in game one of his Cubs playoff career, where he just calls them outgetters and he refuses to acknowledge whether somebody is the closer, somebody's the seventh inning guy, the eighth inning guy. Even in post game today, he was asked, how'd you feel about Matthew Boyd and why'd you take him out at 4 1/3? Was it about facing Fernando Tatis and the righties at the top of the order for a third time? Because that's what I thought when I saw Daniel Palencia warming up in the fourth. I was like, wow, he doesn't want Matthew Boyd to face Tatis for a third time. The third time through the order stuff, we know it's a factor. We know it's a big deal as to why teams go with openers in the first place and things like that. But here he is. And that is indeed what happened. Matthew Boyd went 4 1/3 and did not face Fernando Tatis or Manny Machado for a third time. Those were Daniel Palencia's guys, and he got it done. But everything is high leverage, and the inning and 2/3 from Daniel Palencia in the middle of the game, I'm so glad he got the win. It's one of those times where the win, as it goes to the reliever who happens to be pitching when the team takes the lead, it's nice that it went to Valencia. I'd be totally cool if it went to Matthew Boyd, and that brings about a different kind of statistical conversation that so many in the game would like to have about maybe the official scorer should just assign the win. Now that they use openers and bullpen guys so aggressively, instead of a starter having to go through five, because you could argue that Matthew Boyd deserves that win. But anyway, it goes to Daniel Palencia on the books. That inning in two-thirds was huge. Gave up a deep fly and a hard fly ball as well, but otherwise, straight gas that struck out some very difficult hitters. And he goes an inning in two-thirds, which gets you to the seventh. And that means you can go Pomerantz, and then Kittredge, and then Keller. And folks, 4 2/3 perfect innings for the Cubs bullpen. Man, give it up for Craig Counsell and his slew of outgetters. The unit is how Andrew Kittredge referred to the bullpen guys. The unit is how he describes them. And we can listen to that at some point if we want to. But let's just...
What was it like?
Yeah, should we listen to it? We can listen to Andrew Kittredge. But here's the thing. I guess we got to just get to it. Alex, instead, let's just talk about what's happening here, which is this. Andrew Kittredge is going to start tomorrow's game. And you're like, wait a minute. I thought it was Shota Imanaga. If you're watching the marquee post game, Matthew Boyd on the field with Elise Menneker. When asked about the chance to close it out tomorrow, Boyd says, well, I feel great. You know, with Shota, anytime Shota's on the mound, we feel great. He thought it was going to be Shota Imanaga. How many of his teammates thought it was going to be Shota? Did Craig tell them it was going to be Shota, or did everybody just assume, like you and I did? Folks, it's a bullpen game. And Craig Counsell in his post game did not answer the question when asked about tomorrow's starter, and maybe that was our clue. Because then the Cubs announced, after Craig was done, that it's Andrew Kittredge. And you're like, oh my God, the manager is going with a bullpen game in game two of the playoffs. Do you trust him? Do you trust your bullpen? You trusted him today. You're thrilled with how it went today. Did you trust him before today? Managers are built to be questioned. These processes are built to be questioned. But it worked today. And remember, folks, it is a different time in Major League Baseball. The Los Angeles Dodgers won a World Series game last year by using a bullpen. They used a bullpen game in the World Series, and it worked. The idea is that you collect 6 or 7 absolute bat-missing killers in your bullpen, and you attack the opposition based on matchups and freshness of arms and guys throwing at 100% instead of letting starters face somebody for the second time or the third time. God forbid the third time, like Matthew Boyd didn't even get to do today. You may not like it. It may be uncomfortable. Some players don't like it. Some starting pitchers don't like it. But this is the way of the game. And when you sign up for Craig Counsell as your manager, you're signing up for the modern Major League Baseball paradigm. So here you are, game on. To me, it's fascinating. And I want to talk about it with you. We've got a lot to get to. You'll hear from Andrew Kittredge. You'll hear from Craig Counsell. Craig Counsell was on the Spiegel and Holmes show last week and gave an answer to a question that, if you ask me, kind of presages this big decision about tomorrow's game too. So we'll get to that as well. Your phone calls are welcome at 312-644-6767. We are just getting rolling with a Spiegel and Holmes hit and run hybrid late afternoon, early evening experience on the heels of the Cubs' first home playoff game since 2018 and a win. A win. The Cubs win it by the score of 3-1. We haven't even mentioned our guy Nico Hoerner and his brilliant at-bat to get a sacrifice fly. That man has so much bat control, just the perfect guy in the right spot. We haven't even mentioned Seiya Suzuki and Carson Kelly with their back-to-back homers off Nick Pivetta, and that is doing something. We are just getting rolling on a Spiegel and Holmes hit-and-run hybrid post-post Cubs show with me, Matt Spiegel, and you, the listeners, right here on 670 The Score.
corner trying to come through with men at second and third. Here's the pitch. Nico hits a fly ball to center. Should be deep enough. Merrill makes the catch. Tagging is Swanson. Here comes Dansby to score. Cubs lead 3-1. Nico Horner gets the sac fly.
When the Padres decided to intentionally walk Michael Busch to face Nico Horner with a runner in scoring position, I smiled as big as you can smile, folks. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Spiegel and Holmes. And then a bonus hit and run. I'm here until 7 o'clock talking about the Cubs Game 1 playoff victory with you. Nico Horner has been great with runners in scoring position. He has phenomenal bat control. He is the third most difficult guy to strike out in all of baseball. Number one is Luis Arraez, which is maybe part of why the crowd exploded when Matthew Boyd struck out Luis Arraez today. But Nico Horner has terrific bat control and showed it right there, because after the wild pitch to move runners to second and third, he knew he didn't even need to just try to hit a line drive, which he was going to try to do. He knew he just needed to get the ball in the air and sacrifice himself, just make sure he had a fly ball. And that's what he did. And he drove in Dansby Swanson for an insurance run. And that dude is just, he is the best. Nico's the best. Speaking of Dansby Swanson, what a brilliant game defensively by Dansby. Guy making $177 million, who is inconsistent offensively, pretty good version of himself offensively this year, and I know that can still be frustrating, but it's a guy with mid-20s homers and a mid-700 OPS who strikes out a lot, but is a great base runner and plays absolutely brilliant defense at the one of the most important defensive positions on the field. One of the three. Catcher, center field, shortstop. And Dansby was phenomenal today. The diving backhand play to keep Xander Bogaerts at third. Matthew Boyd ended up stranding Bogaerts there, a man on third with nobody out. And that felt like a massive escape right there early on for the Cubs against the Padres. And then men at first and third, and Dansby goes back and catches that little looping pop fly like a slot receiver. And that's what I wondered. Did Dansby play football in high school? Huge football fan. Great basketball player. Three-point shooter in high school. I don't know if he played football, but I bet he would have been a really good slot receiver. But anyway, brilliant catch by Dansby and a quick turn, whirls around, throws it back into the infield. Huge game-saving play is what it felt like right there. The news of the day, though, and you're listening to Spiegs on the Score, and we'll take your calls in a moment, is that Craig Counsell's going with an opener tomorrow in Andrew Kittredge. And here's the thing. As many of you have texted in, that doesn't mean that Shota Imanaga won't come in second and be the bulk guy. And I've been calling it a bullpen game. Maybe it will be Shota. Because the bullpen games usually work like this. You go for the best matchup of somebody you don't want to save for the later innings early on. You want to go with that best matchup against the top three hitters for the opposition. And if Mike Schilt and the Padres go with Tatis at one and Machado at three, then the idea is that Kittredge gets them the first time around. And then your bulk guy could maybe go three times through the order or 2.8 times through the order and not have to face those top of the order guys for that third time. So maybe that would be Shota Imanaga. Maybe then Shota comes in and only has to get through, ideally, Tatis and Machado twice to get all the way into the fifth or maybe even the sixth inning. But here's the thing. Shota's never pitched out of the bullpen in the major leagues. 29 starts last year, 25 starts this year, and that's how many games he has played. Has he been a bullpen guy in the Japanese league? Maybe. I know he started the game-clinching game for Japan in the World Baseball Classic. He started that. So you just got to make sure that Shota's okay with that. Colin Ray is. Aaron Civale is. So maybe those two guys, maybe one of those two guys are your bulk guy. Maybe Colin Ray is your bulk guy. Super comfortable being a bullpen guy, a bulk guy, or being a starter. And Colin Ray was dominant this month. The best strikeout rate of his career this month. So I guess I've been thinking it's going to be Colin Ray, but it could be Shota. It just has to be something you've discussed with Shota, and you got to make sure that he's comfortable in that role. And maybe he is. Shota's an absolute stud, a veteran. I'm a big fan. I thought this was going to be Shota's start tomorrow, and I was cool with it. I was down with it. I was ready. Maybe because they have the win, Craig is feeling a little emboldened to do it this way. It's going to be fascinating. Let's talk about it with you at 312-644-6767. Let's start with Rich on the road. Rich, you are on Spiegel and Holmes, which is going to morph into Hit and Run. It is Cubs post-post after a victorious first playoff game at Wrigley Field. What's up, Rich? How are you?
Oh, man, what a great day. Absolutely perfect. Weather, perfect. Crowd, perfect. Game, perfect. The main thing I was going to say is I was back at, I think it was the NLCS back in 2016, where Miguel Montero hit, I think it was a grand slam in the eighth inning. It was at least a home run, and the volume in that place was matched today. Like, the energy was crazy. And you had brought up about Boyd getting pulled so early, and I was sitting with my son, talk about a father-son experience, and we were like, wow, there's like 55 pitches. What the heck is going on? And I said, this better work. If it doesn't work, then everyone's going to crucify Craig Counsell. But it was just an absolutely perfect day. The energy was palpable, and the vibes were amazing. I never call and talk to you guys. I love your show. I listen to it all the time. But today was just amazing.
Thank you, Rich, for the call, man. Yeah, the vibes were immaculate. They really were. Just perfect late September baseball vibes on a day that felt like July. I remember that grand slam from Shota Imanaga in the from Miguel Montero in the 2016 NLCS. I remember how loud it was. I'm not going to say that today necessarily rivaled that or some of the other times I've been in that ballpark. I'm blessed to have been there for some unbelievable times when Kyle Schwarber homered onto the top of the right field scoreboard against the Cardinals in the 2015 NLDS. I mean, and the end of that game, I get chills thinking about it because it was such a big, big moment in a big series. But there was an energy and a loudness and a vitality to the crowd today that was really special. I tweeted at Matt Spiegs, S-P-I-E-G-S. I tweeted a video after the Carson Kelly home run. They were giving out towels today, and I just, from the press box, I shot a quick video of the stands, and you can go check it out. It was unbelievable. And after Seiya's home run just before that, it was incredible. A texter earlier made the comp of the Seiya home run to Chris Bryant's homer in Game 5 of the World Series in 2016. And I love that thought and that comp because it was a very specific thing, that Bryant home run. Cubs were down 3-1 in that series and seemed dead. And that Bryant home run brought back the crowd. It brought back belief, seemingly, on the ball club, or it just felt that way anyway. And the explosion was very special. I was blessed to have been in the ballpark for that one. So the Seiya home run, it showed you that maybe the bats could be awake. And folks, that's the dream. That's the dream of this postseason. I'll set it up for you when we come back as we keep rolling. We're going to morph from Spiegel and Holmes into Hit and Run. The dream of this postseason is very specific to me. And we didn't quite see it today, but maybe we will in the days to come. I have an unbelievable stat for you about the team that wins game one of a 3-game wildcard series as well. We're just getting rolling. The phone lines are open for you at 312-644-6767. You will hear some post-game sound, and you will hear callers and texters and me speaks with you for the next hour on a bonus Hit and Run. It's Cubs post-post on 670 The Score.
Here's the 2-2 delivery. Kelly swings, and it's a high fly ball, deep left center field, going back, Sheets, at the track, near the wall, gone! Cubs take the lead! Carson Kelly pumps his fist up in the air as he rounds the bases. 2-1 Cubs over the Padres here in the fifth. First Suzuki, now Kelly. Cubs go back-to-back and take the lead.
And now it's time for a special Hit and Run, Chicago's premier baseball show, starring Matt Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Oh my God, it's late September Hit and Run music. Are you kidding me? Everybody listen for the low brass. It is not Sunday morning. It is Tuesday evening in your 6 o'clock hour. But the Cubs just won a playoff game. So we are talking to you on 670 The Score for one more hour of post-game right here. It's me, Matt Spiegel, here with you. Alex Kuhn is sticking around to work the board. I was hanging out with Alex on the field today before that Cubs playoff game when the vibes were immaculate. And they are pretty damn good right now. The Cubs beat the Padres by the score of 3-1 on the strength of those two back-to-back home runs. Calls by Zach Zaidman there. Really good calls by Zach. Good for him, man. What fun to get a chance to do that. I was in that booth before the game saying hello to Pat and Ron and Zach and Rich Wyatt running the board as an engineer today. Just, I mean, incredible happiness and joy from everybody involved with the Cubs Radio Network getting a chance to do these games. And then there is a win right there. Listen. When the team that wins the first game of a wild card series has won said game, they go on to win the series. This wild card format, this best of three, there have only been 12 of them so far, okay, coming into this season. And all 12 wild card series since the format began in 2022 have gone to the team that wins the first game. That courtesy of Tony Andracki from over at Marquee. Tony's a good man. Saw him today. Saw everybody involved with Cubs media over there today. Just incredible. But look, 12 for 12. So that's good news for the Tigers, who beat the Guardians today with Jose Ramirez with the rare brain fart in the ninth inning of a one-run game. And now the Cubs. So those two teams have a chance to make it 14 out of 14, and we'll see whoever wins the Red Sox-Yankees game and the Reds-Dodgers game, which is your late-night playoff activity. So that's the thing. The wild card format, 12 of 12. So that is an incredibly good sign. Here's the dream, folks. Before we take your phone calls at 312-644-6767, and we will talk about the decision by Craig Counsell to go with a bullpen game tomorrow, or at the very least an opener. Andrew Kittredge gets the start tomorrow. He pitched today, but he will also pitch tomorrow, which is no big deal for him. And he's got a very low heartbeat, does Andrew Kittredge. Very, very calm individual. I love the choice of him to start the game there tomorrow. Still saves you Daniel Palencia for later, Brad Keller for later. And then you could use your other righties, whether it's Colin Ray later on or Aaron Civale later on. I have to assume it's going to be Shota Imanaga as the bulk guy to come in, maybe with a clean start in inning number two. Maybe that's how it's going to work. Let Kittredge go 1-2-3 in the first. And there's nothing to keep the opposing manager from going and changing up his order and putting Tatis and Machado in like the 4 and 5 spot and hopefully stymieing that kind of choice. But remember, if he does that, he might cost himself a plate appearance for those guys late in the game, because the guys who hit 1-2-3 are more likely to get 5 at bats, say, than everybody else who will probably get 4 or however it works out, or sometimes even 4 versus 3, depending on how efficient the pitching is. So managers are, they don't want to do that. They don't want to do that, move those guys down. So that's why the opener still works as an overall strategy. So we'll talk about that with you in a second. But the dream to me is that the Cubs offense has resumed and continues to be what it was in the first half of the year when they were the fourth best offense in all of baseball with a 7.71 OPS. Before the All-Star break, they were fourth best in the entire league. They had the third most home runs in the entire league before the All-Star game. And then you know about the slump that took place for big portions of the second half. PCA didn't homer for a couple of months. Seiya Suzuki didn't homer for a couple of months. But guess what, folks? Don't know if you're paying attention to what's been happening in September, but over the last 30 days, the Cubs have the fifth best OPS in all of baseball. They have the fifth most home runs in all of baseball. Maybe the offensive juggernaut is back. Seiya Suzuki, your National League Player of the Week in the final week of the regular season, and he picked up right where he left and homered today. Ian Happ was on fire in the month of September. Big, ugly double play from Happ today. Did not have a great game, that's for sure. But Ian's has had a great month. Maybe he picks that back up tomorrow. Matt Shaw's been a pretty good version of himself. Michael Bush has been a monster in the month of September, an absolute monster. And he had a deep drive to start off this game just to the left of center field. I thought he got all of that one. If he pulled that one a little more, I was probably gone. And Nico Hoerner has been on fire for a couple of months, and he was absolutely terrific today. 2 for 3 with a sacrifice fly for Nico Hoerner. I love that he's in the two hole against righties or lefties. I don't care. Just put him up there, and it proved beneficial today. So that's the dream, is that the Cubs offense resumes what it was in the first half. And then who the hell knows what can happen, folks. If this offense picks up and the home runs come, then maybe they can stay hot and make a deep run until Cade Horton is healthy. Either at the end of the DS or maybe in the NLCS. But either way, you win this series, which you can do tomorrow, you get the Brewers. We get Cubs-Brewers next week. Or I guess it'll start on the weekend. If the Cubs can close out the Padres tomorrow, or if necessary, on Thursday. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Texters getting in that way. Here's one. Had to take the day off to help with my mother-in-law, who's ill. But what a game. I got to watch it. Getting to watch with her, the epitome of a meatball Cubs fan, and my 7-year-old, once he got off the school bus at 2:15, was unbelievable. And a bonus September hit and run, icing on the cake. That's from Scott in Woodstock. Great to hear from you, Scott. Great to have the listeners reach out the way that you have for an extended bonus hit and run up until 7 p.m. Let's go to the phones. Brian in Streamwood is on the score right now with me, Matt Spiegel, here after a Cubs win. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Spiegs, I just want to say that I love your passion for the Cubs. And I love your knowledge for baseball. You're a great man. And I was the one that went over to the tent and took a picture with Layla, which was my number one was a W for the Cubs. Let's get it. We got it. Number two was a picture with Layla. Then Haw had to move in and jump in the picture. But we got him in there, too. I sent them all to the text line. Then
there
I
we
said,
go.
They're Spiegs. And you said, I'm over here. I said, hey, Spiegs. And then we took Spiegs. A picture together. It was amazing. It was great.
Brian, you're the best. Thanks, man. That was you. That was Brian. Yeah, he's the guy. He screamed, where's Spiegs? And now he's on the phone, and he said it right there.
Where's Spiegs?
Yeah, and there's Wani. There's Wani creating catchphrases all over town. Amazing. I mean, so many great Cub fans out there and score listeners. And, you know, just a million radio colleagues and media colleagues as well. Just everybody just kind of drinking it up and drinking it in. Thanks for the call, Brian. Let's keep rolling. This is Dennis in Darien. Dennis, you are on the score with me, Matt Spiegel. Let's talk about this Cubs win. What you got?
Hey, Spiegs, first of all, great, great show. You, Parkins over the years, everybody. You guys got a great show. But anyway, I just want to say one thing about Kittredge. I think the move is absolutely awesome. Now, anything can backfire, but that guy has been a stud since he got here, except for the first inning he ever pitched at Wrigley. After that guy has settled in, and he has been awesome. So I like the move, and I want to know your thoughts on it.
Yeah, he's been awesome, and he's just so incredibly calm and has such a belief in what he does, and the location and control is absolutely money. I had a chance to talk to him in the clubhouse a couple of weeks ago, and he's as calm to talk about and talk with as he seems to be on the mound. Because I was asking him about just like, it seems like he's moving so slow. When there's nobody on, it's just the body's moving so slow, and he just leans back and then fires. You know what he told me a couple of weeks ago when I'd asked is that, you know, just by increasing the amount of lower body strength he uses in his delivery, which is why he slows down like that. This happened a few years ago when he was in, I believe when he was with Tampa, one off season with Tampa. By increasing the amount, he's activating his quads and his leg muscles, it increased his velocity. And I'm like, whoa, so that's one of the ways that you increase velocity? And he's like, yeah. And I wonder if they've done that with Daniel Palencia this year. And I don't know for sure, but Palencia's velocity has ticked up a little bit this year and was part of him becoming one of the most dominant relievers in all of baseball in the second half. But that's what happened with Kittredge, is that they made him, you know, more attuned to his lower body muscles, and that's why he pitches slower out there and really leans back, and that has increased his velocity. He has been an absolute stud. Here's Andrew Kittredge after the game today talking about the work of the bullpen, 4 2/3 perfect innings from the Cubs bullpen. And Kittredge will get the start tomorrow as well as an opener. But here's Kittredge talking about the entire group today.
What was it like seeing what Daniel did, especially with the up down and you know, having to sit with the two home runs and a little bit of a longer inning?
It was really impressive. You know, his stuff's electric, and to get out there with the one plus, that was really big for us. The whole bullpen just did an awesome job. I don't think we gave up a hit. So, it was cool that, you know, everyone kind of got that first one jitters out of the way, but also, you know, was able to pitch really well with it.
Obviously, you didn't worry about any jinxing. You got a haircut and a neck shave before. So, seriously, I mean, you know, for you guys to have been so good all year together, don't you think you guys deserve some type of nickname for the group? I mean, that's how good you guys
are. The starters, when we're slapping hands, going out to the pen, and they're coming back in after watching today's starter, they always call us the unit, which I think is awesome. I'm a unit.
and it really is. I mean, just thinking about what you guys have done, coming from all different places here to end up being, you know, as he called it, a unit. Mm-hmm. Unit. What is that like?
It's cool. I mean, you know, we got, like you said, we kind of got guys with different career paths and different things. You know, we've got some veterans, some youth, you know, kind of a mixed bag, if you will. But, you know, everyone's knows how to get outs at this level, and you know, you see that today, and I think it's just something we can feed off. I think we have a great bullpen where there's really no egos. There's, you know, everyone's pulling for each other, and it's just kind of next man up mentality, you know, regardless of the order of operations.
Knowing counts, he's probably going to say in about 10 minutes, by the way, you're opening tomorrow.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, you've done it before. I mean, will the mentality be any more difficult knowing that it's a playoff game rather than a regular season?
I mean, you try to keep everything the same. Like I was saying earlier, it's, you know, the adrenaline kind of changes things. I'm doing my best to try to slow my heart rate and stay calm and slow. It's easier said than done, but you also got to feed off the energy too. So, this is the best atmosphere to play in. I mean, playoff baseball, there's nothing better in it. Looking forward to tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Levine, knowing something or just guessing something. Did you catch that? Bruce Levine said knowing counts. Maybe in 10 minutes he's going to announce you as the opener. Well, yes, counsel didn't say it, but then the Cubs said it. Andrew Kittredge has started many games in his Major League Baseball career because he's been an opener before. 3 times in 2018, 7 times in 2019, once in 2020, 4 times in 2021, all with the Tampa Bay Rays. That is all in the regular season. In the postseason, no starts, so no times has he opened in the postseason. But folks, you just heard the stats after Bruce's very prescient question to Andrew Kittredge right there. There are 15 times that Andrew Kittredge has been an opener in MLB. Bing, bang, boom. Put that in your pipe and smoke that. Hot damn. Let's go to the phone lines. By the way, we will do Team of the Moment next segment here on The Score for Hit and Run. Who could it be? Who could be the Team of the Moment? Spoiler alert, it's the Chicago Bears. No, that was Chris Tannehill's suggestion and a fine one, but it's not the Bears. We'll do Team of the Moment next segment. But we roll on with your phone calls all hour long. 312-644-6767. Dell is in Darien. We go back-to-back Darien phone callers. This is Dell on Hit and Run with Me Speaks. What's up, Dell?
There, Speaks. All right. Yeah,
we're Speaks.
Speaks.
Right here.
There he is.
Yep.
We're so strong up the middle. It's so fun with Nico and Dansby. I mean, they are so they're so strong in so many ways. And they both showed it today. Nico offensively, Dansby, of course, defensively. Just amazing. We're so lucky to have them. And then with the bullpen speaks, it was so satisfying because all the hype, all the talk beforehand, Padres have the best bullpen, or one of the best bullpens in the MLB. You know, they're so great. They're amazing.
Yes.
And so for our guys to come through, that was really special. I'm happy for our guys in the bullpen. Really good. Really happy.
Yeah. That's great stuff, though. Go ahead.
I'm a little uneasy, though, with Kittredge starting, just because this is such a heavy left-handed hitting lineup. I mean, what about – is Steelbar available? I mean, what about him pitching the first inning? Or maybe they're saving him for
– They used – it's interesting, you know, but it's not Steelbar because they need Steelbar late. I could have seen it be Pomerantz, and I think they've done it with Pomerantz before this year. In fact, I know they have. And Pomerantz used to be a starter as well. But, you know, it's those two righties at the top. The assumption is that Mike Schilt will keep Machado at three and Tatis at one. So then he'd rather have Kittredge to deal with it. Steelbar is a hugely important piece of this bullpen. This bullpen, which has been so, so good in the second half and so good in September. And I'll give you some of those numbers in a minute. But it's like, I trust Steelbar. Pomerantz a little scary. Taylor Rogers a little scary. I'm not surprised that Jordan Wicks is not on the roster, but like, you know, Pomerantz was good today, but I feel better about Steelbar. And they'll use him late in the game. That's for sure. But you know, there's a reason that Craig Counsell answered a question the way that he did from Spiegel and Holmes. To me a couple of weeks ago. And I want to play this now. Alex, let's go ahead and play this now. I was asking him, Alex, I don't know if it has a question or not, but I was asking him about some of those times and when you watch a postseason and a guy comes out of nowhere to be the story of a team's postseason. And I was asking him, and frankly, I was asking him, and I was thinking about Moises Ballesteros, or thinking about a bat like that, that maybe would be the story. But that's not the way that Counsell went with his answer.
The name that has kind of recently popped into my head was, and it's not a household name by any means, but like the Texas Rangers 2 years ago won the World Series, and their best reliever was?
Josh Sabores. Is that right?
It was Josh Sabores and Jose Leclerc.
Jose Leclerc, yeah.
Right. And like, so that's kind of, you know, and I'm pretty sure very few people know those two names. Right. And so that's how it can happen in the playoffs. And that's what, Frank, if you're going to win, that's how it's going to need to happen, is that you're going to have to get surprises. And so whether it be, you know, Moises Ballesteros giving you the surprise or, Michael Soroka's giving you a surprise. You know, you don't know who it is, but to win, yeah, somebody's going to have to do it for sure.
Oh, that's a great pull, Alex. I love that answer. And Michael Soroka is on the playoff roster. Moises Ballesteros is on the playoff roster. And I love that that's where Craig's head was, Josh Sabores and Jose Leclerc. And maybe this year for the Cubs, it is Brad Keller and Andrew Kittredge. Andrew Kittredge, who frankly was an underwhelming ad at the deadline because he wasn't Mason Miller. He wasn't Joan Duran. He was Andrew Kittredge, but maybe it's him. And Brad Keller, who came to spring training hoping to be starting pitcher depth And then they asked him, would you mind trying out to be a reliever? And he found extra velocity and has been absolutely great. Folks, you might remember a couple months ago, maybe 3 months ago, before Palencia emerged, I was a guy saying, let the Brad Keller closer era begin. Said it multiple times. Well, we're there now. Brad Keller is your closer. And maybe he's just an out-getter like everybody else. But, boy, I loved Palencia in the middle of that game, especially coming off of Boyd. That is a very different look. Hey, you got used to Matthew Boyd and his pitch mix from the left side. Here's Daniel Palencia from his arm slot throwing 102. Good luck, everybody. Craig Counsell managed a great game today. We'll do Team of the Moment next and continue with your phone calls on a bonus hit and run. It's Cubs Post right here with me, Matt Spiegel, on 670 The Score.
Hit and run with Matt Spiegel on The Score.
That is set. Here's the pitch. Saya swings, drills one deep left center field. This is going to tie the game. It's gone. Solo shot to left center by Seiya Suzuki. 1-1 Cubs and Padres here in the fifth. Here's the 2-2 delivery. Kelly swings and it's a high fly ball deep left center field. Going back sheets at the track near the wall. Gone! Cubs take the lead. Carson Kelly pumps his fist up in the air as he rounds the bases. 2-1 Cubs over the Padres here in the fifth. First Suzuki, now Kelly. Cubs go back to back and take the lead.
It was the team of the moment, offering entertainment. The team of the moment, they caught our eyes.
Chicago Cubs are your team of the moment. They're playing playoff games in Chicago. And the vibes were immaculate, and then they went out and won. Matthew Boyd with 4 1/3 good innings, really only gave up 2 hard-hit balls. They were the back-to-back doubles that led to a run. I guess the third one was also hard-hit, that Dansby Swanson made a great defensive play. But, man, this team defense on display today. Nico with several good plays. Pete Crow Armstrong taking control in center field, waving off Seiya Suzuki demonstratively in right center on a deep drive by Gavin Sheets. PCA also going back and making a deep drive to right center look easy another time. He went back to the wall and made that catch at the middle of the chest that makes you slightly nervous perhaps, but he just knows what he's doing. Pete makes it look very, very under control out there. And then the bullpen came in and was absolutely lights out. In the month of September, the Cubs had the 7th best on-base percentage in all of baseball. They had the 5th best OPS in all of baseball. They were 5th in MLB in home runs. In terms of strikeouts in the month of September, the Cubs had the 12th least strikeout. So they made a lot of contact, they hit a lot of homers, and they slugged a lot. And today, with those 2 home runs and then a terrific at bat by Nico Hoerner for a sacrifice fly, it picked up. But here's why they're the team of the moment to me. You heard Craig Counsell talking about the bullpen of the Rangers from a couple of years ago that came out of nowhere and established itself just in time, and then Bruce Bochy wrote it. This Cubs bullpen in the first half, remember, had guys like Julian Merriweather and Ryan Pressly and Chris Flexen and Nate Pearson. You remember that those guys were such a big part of things in the first half? But they went through some very aggressive roster churn by Craig Counsell and Jed Hoyer together, and then role churn as well. Drew Pomerantz has come off essentially the scrap heap, trying to work his way back. Was it Seattle, right? Because it had been Colorado. It was either Colorado or Seattle, and it was the other place first. Andrew Kittredge, the trade acquisition. Taylor Rogers, the trade acquisition. The emergence of Daniel Palencia, who was lost to a shoulder injury, but folks, he is back. Here's the deal. This bullpen has a strikeout rate in the second half, 36%. 23% strikeout rate in the first half was below average. In the second half, 36%. They have rebuilt the bullpen on the fly. The bullpen in September had baseball's best bullpen ERA. Baseball's best ERA in September belongs to the Chicago Cubs. Folks, Craig Counsell figured it out with the bullpen. He's done a wonderful job with that, and that's why you have no choice but to trust him tomorrow. Here's Craig Counsell after the game. Before we take your phone calls, and we will, thank you for holding. Craig Counsell after the game said the bullpen today was perfect.
It was perfect today. I mean, that's what it was. It's, let's see, 13, it's 14 outs. And I've talked a lot about, you know, them helping each other, and how that group is connected, and today was a great example of it. You know, they get their outs and they make their matchups the right matchups. And so, just a brilliant job. Everybody just executed pitches. Can't say enough about what they did today.
Craig Counsell was asked about the former closer, now seemingly a middle closer, Daniel Palencia.
Palencia there in the fifth inning. Comes in with a runner on. How confident are you that he gets one of the best hitters in the game who is no stranger to these big moments there, despite the fact that you've never put him in a position like that before?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, to me, that's the outing of the game that was critical. He puts, you know, you need outs from your starters in these games. You can't do that every day. But him throwing up five outs and five hitters, and going through the top of their lineup, the game made sense after that to me. You know what I mean? Like there's a real path right there. So, credit to Danny for like putting the game back together. And those are five tough outs. He did it efficiently, which is, you know, we're always, that's the kind of added bonus to this stuff. And you're right. You know, he went on the injured list with a shoulder, had a couple outings coming back, and, you know, he was closing. This is the same to me. You know, where that outing happened and what was the result is like closing.
So, yeah, the result was like closing. That's Craig Counsell on Daniel Palencia and that bullpen. Matt Spiegler with you on 670 The Score. I'm here until 7, then Judson Richards is here afterwards. So keep your conversation coming. Keep your phone calls coming as well, because Cubs post goes on. It reminds me of like when you go to an after party after a rock and roll show, and the after party's really fun. You go there and you get to hang out with the band and really, you know, maybe a couple VIPs. And then the after party gets broken up, and then you go to something called the after party, where it's really the crowd gets even thinner and you got to know where the after party is. Then sometimes that gets broken up. And then you know what happens after that? The after. Yes, it's the after party. That's right, my boy. And that's, whoo!
That is only the best.
That's only the elite of the elite. That's Judson Richards and friends after 7 o'clock right here on The Score. Let's go back to the phone lines. This is Mitch on 670 The Score. Boss, Mitch Rosen, is this you? Probably not. I assume it's another Mitch, but you're on with me, Matt Spiegel, on The Score. What do you say, Mitch?
No, different Mitch, but hey, it's nice to chat. What an excellent day. What an excellent week or so for Chicago. We need it. You know, it's been a brutal few years for us as sports fans, but it's been a good week. I had just kind of an interesting query for you. Looking at the lineup, obviously, I think if this team is going to run deep, that middle of the lineup has got to start clicking. And I'm talking the big three being, in my mind, in the middle of the order, Seiya, PCA, and Tucker. Obviously, you got Bush and some surrounding pieces too. But I think those three have to click at the same time. Seiya's on fire. I think PCA got lit up today with some high heat, and I think he'll adjust. He'll be better. My big question for you is Tucker, because obviously when you acquire him, this is best case scenario, right? You get him into the postseason. He has a ton of experience there. He's an amazing player. It's great. the weird part is that he's been injured, and a seemingly a strange injury that he went and got some consultations on, and who knows how he's really feeling at this point. And today he didn't look great at bat. I'm just curious from your perspective, what would you have as your leash for him if he just continues to look like he can't find the ball up there, and maybe put in somebody like Mo Baller or Alcantara or something? I mean, I know it's like a ridiculous thing to ask, but who knows how he's actually feeling post-injury. Curious on your thoughts there. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, it's not a ridiculous thing to ask, which lets you know how severe it seems to be. I mean, I thought about it today when he did make hard contact. It was on the ground to the right side. It was the Jason Hayward special. And that's what we saw from Kyle Tucker during his long slump when he was still banged up. I felt very optimistic when he came back that first game that he came back, and there was lots of good contact and he drew the walk and stuff. But I'm less optimistic now after seeing him for a few games to close out the year and seeing him today. It would be incredibly, incredibly bold of Craig Counsell to have Moises Ballesteros as your left-handed DH tomorrow. You're not going to sit Seiya Suzuki, and Seiya's going to play right field because Tucker can't really move. And Seiya has been on fire with the power, as he was again today. I loved his aggressive at bat. He got ahead in the line in the count 2-0, did Seiya, and then he swung right away at the next two pitches. And just not trying to build it to three balls, which he does sometimes. When he's off, he's being too passive. I like when he's aggressive. But anyway, Kyle Tucker instead of Mo Baller, it is something that you consider. If Craig Counsell does it tomorrow, it would be very bold, but I'd applaud it. I'd applaud it, frankly. I'm not calling for it, but I would applaud it. Yeah, Pete at the plate was very over-aggressive and a mess today. And there also was a bunt in there. There was a bunt attempt in the middle of what ended up being a strikeout from Pivetta, and maybe that speaks to just how overwhelmed he was feeling. I like when he bunts against lefties, but against a righty like Pivetta, you know, it's interesting. Pivetta's fastball is the best fastball in all of baseball. I was looking at his stats today during the game. He really doesn't walk many people, and he gives up even fewer hits. Like, of the top 10 in innings pitched in the National League, he gave up the fewest hits. Fewer than Paul Skeens. Fewer than anybody. His whip was second best in the majors next to Paul Skeens, or at least in the National League next to Paul Skeens. Just a remarkable season out of that guy, based largely on his four-seam fastball. So maybe PCA just knew he was overwhelmed by that heat. But he looked like a mess today. Let's keep going on the phone lines. Actually, we'll do so when we come back. Right, Alex? We'll take a break. We'll come back, take a couple more phone calls, and you'll hear some more post-game. Alex Kuhn is my guy. It's an extended hit and run. We're on the Twitch stream. My God, look at that. Is that Connor sticking around, rocking and rolling?
And Speaks, I got to say, we have everybody that works here at the Score here right now. So we are all hands on deck after an outstanding day of Cubs baseball.
We are? Who's everybody who works at the Score? Tell me.
We've got all the Tylers. We've got Sean. We've got Grant. We have everybody here right now.
That is awesome. Sean Sears, thanks for the help facilitating some hit-and-run action for Alex. It was great to do Team of the Moment. It was the Cubs. Shocker. I know. Tanny had a good idea of making it the Bears, but Bears talk can wait, baby. It's baseball season. Where's Stan from Bellwood? September is a baseball month. Tell every Tyler you know. Every single Tyler that you know. Tell them loud and proud. September's a baseball month. More hit and run, and then Judson Richards keeps it rolling at the top of the hour right here on 670 The Score.
Xander Bogaerts with two hits in the game as he waits. Cubs lead 3-1. The pitch. Strike three. Call. Cubs win the ball game. Brad Keller works a 1-2-3 ninth inning. What a job by the Cubs bullpen today. As the Cubs win game one in front of a remarkable crowd here at Wrigley Field.
Man, Pat Hughes was feeling it today. Wasn't he? Listeners to the Cubs Radio Network know it. And Pat Hughes feeling the playoff atmosphere, and it was evident to all that were there that the playoff atmosphere was back at Wrigley Field. It's just different. The crowd was so into it. In inning number one, there was a swinging strike from Fernando Tatis. And I was like, oh boy, crowd was loud. Crowd was loud at big defensive plays. When Dansby made that play to keep the second run at third, Xander Bogaerts, and the crowd exploded, understanding the game, watching the situation, and offering full-on emotion and connectivity. It was really, really cool.
Speaks, you called it in our group chat. You were sitting there, and you said, this crowd, when they were down 1-0, is ready to blow. And then they hit the back-to-back home runs. And like you said, I can't quite describe it, but that was as good of an sports atmosphere as I've been in a very long time.
That's awesome. That's Alex Kuhn, who got a chance to feel that there today. Yeah, man, it was they were dying to have something to explode about. And any little thing over those first few innings, you felt it, and you're like, boy, this is going to be big. And then when Seiya homers and Kelly homers after that, it was just absolutely off the chain. Couple of callers who've been patient and hanging on, and then I'll give you my thought about what I hope happens tomorrow in game number two. Let's go to Keith in Shorewood. It's our guy Keith who's been hanging on. Keith, you're on Bonus Hit and Run. It's Cubs Post with me, Matt Spiegel. What's up?
Hi, Spiegs. First off, thank you for doing this show because I'm crawling to the Hawks pregame as we speak. So thank you for doing what you're doing. I just want to make this point pretty quick. I think this is just a great example of what, you know, successful playoff baseball is. You've alluded to most of the points I want to make, but again, they didn't really hit that well today, but they hit when they needed to. I don't know that Boyd pitched a great game today, but he pitched in some key situations and got out of them, and he was successful then. And then the bullpen just took over and shut the door. And if this is the recipe they're going to show in game one of a very long playoff, you know, run here, I can't believe, you know, I'm so excited to see what happens, you know, going forward. So
thanks,
wish you the
Keith.
Best, buddy, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for calling, Keith. Yeah, man, it's it's still scary when you zoom out without Cade Horton, without the power righty who can really dominate a strong right-handed lineup or whatever, righty or left, you know, without an ace-caliber front-of-the-rotation guy. It's still scary when you zoom out. But you can piece things together and put things together and make a run like this. You can, as long as the bullpen does its thing and Council keeps the good touch with the bullpen and you get some timely homers. And they got a bunch of guys who can hit home runs. It's got a bunch of dudes who can. And so the possibilities are there. Why not the Cubs? Why not the Cubs to make a surprising deep run? Or at least give you Cubs Brewers in the next round. This is Dan in New Lenox on 670 The Score. What do you say, Dan? How are you?
Spiegs, doing well, driving home from the game. My last playoff Cubs experience was in 2016, Game 7. Called in, got on Moley and Hanley at the time, but today was fun. Today was a great game. My question for you, Hap, five outs, Tucker, not much better. Do we got to move them around in the lineup? And why Palencia, I mean, he had a great year, right? Third most saves in the NL, or maybe even MLB. But is it a demotion? Is Keller that good? Is it just the experience of Keller? Let me know.
It's interesting. I think it's the demeanor and the consistency of Keller. That's number one. And Keller's veteran presence and maybe his ability to get guys from both sides at a slightly higher level. But I really think it's the demeanor. The game where Palencia blew up, where his shoulder blew up, he was a mess. I happened to be doing pre and post that day, and he was all over the place. He looked very rattled, frankly, before that happened. Remember, it was a really rough game and a rough inning, and he had a few rough outings before then. I think Palencia is a young guy. I remember Council said on the Spiegel and Holmes show earlier in the year, he's a very important young pitcher taking a big step forward for us. And I asked him to expound on it, and he said, no. I think I said everything I wanted to say right there. So, I mean, so he's young. Keller has been great all year long, and I think he's kind of built for it, from a makeup perspective, a little more than Palencia is. Tomorrow, Andrew Kittredge is your opener. I hope that Shota Imanaga follows him as the bulk guy and not Colin Ray or Aaron Civale. Shota's never done it, but I bet he can. I'm sure that they have discussed it. But here's what I'll say. If it's a dirty inning in the first or the second, don't make Shota come in and do that. Let Shota come in and get the first clean inning that is applicable after your opener does his job. Maybe Kittredge goes one inning. Maybe goes two. But I bet Kittredge goes one and Shota comes in to start the second. I would feel great about that decision. If that's what Craig Counsell does. You know, you're getting two shows in one, people. And that means you get two closing themes in one. Damn right. Alex Kuhn has done a great job producing both the solo edition of Spiegel and Olms and this bonus extendo Hit and Run. Listen, the NL Wildcard Series continues tomorrow as the Cubs look to close out the Padres at Wrigley. Mully and Haw will broadcast live from the radio booth at Wrigley Field from 5:30 to 10 a.m., followed by Raheem Harrison Grody at Gallagher Way from 10 to 1:30, previewing Game 2. Then it's Game 2, and after that, after the Cubs Radio Network postgame with Zach Zaidman, it'll be me once again until 7 o'clock with your Cubs post-post. Coming up next, it is Judson Richards with your Cubs post-post-post. Keep listening, why wouldn't you, to 670 The Score.
Betta sets. Here's the pitch. Seiya swings, drills one deep left center field. This is going to tie the game. It's gone. Solo shot to left center by Seiya Suzuki. 1-1 Cubs and Padres here in the fifth.